Some of it you gon' like, some of it you ain't. Tired of hearing fools complaining in barber chairs and beauty shops.
This is Truth Brothers Radio.
That's more like it.
If you're not listening to the Truth Brothers, then Truth ain't in you.
Truth Brothers Radio. I'm Ray.
And I'm Devon.
And we are the Truth Brothers. The number to give us a call is 818-514-1202. That's 818-514-1202.
And as always, you guys can hit us up at our email at wewanttruth@att.net. Truth is spelled T-R-U-F.
And I'm standing by in the chat room for your questions and comments on tonight's subject.
You're right.
We're going to
jump into the scandal of blacks on television. And we just use the word scandal because one of the hottest shows on television right now is the TV show Scandal with Kerry Washington. Very groundbreaking show. In my opinion, very good show. It's very compelling, and it has good stories and way out characters. But it's, at the same time, it rubs some people the wrong way.
Some of them people being me. I never, like I said, when I first saw the show, it totally rubbed me the wrong way. When I first saw the show, it totally rubbed me the wrong way to a point where I was like, okay, this doesn't seem right. Just strictly, and I know Big Brother tried to explain why they didn't do this, but the relationship she had with the president just rubbed me all the wrong way. I never liked that at all.
Right.
Was it because he was the president, or was it because?
That has something to do with it, but her character was so strong, so powerful, and so independent that for me, the fact that she just fell head over heels for this guy who I couldn't, I mean, of course, me being a guy, I'm not going to see it, but I couldn't see why. She's successful, she's smart, she's brought up, she's beautiful, and it's this guy here, and and it makes it almost seem like it was just a position of power that she fell for, and if that's the case, mm-hmm. then she falls right back into another category of woman.
Well, let me ask you this then. For being a man, not a Caucasian man, but just being a man, if you encountered a woman like that, would you not be intrigued? Would you not be attracted to that? Okay, so let's just say for the sake of argument that it could be just that, and it just so happens that she's black.
Okay.
But
you understand
married,
what I'm saying?
And he's the president.
Exactly.
Well,
it's
them
something
being
that's
married,
so high powered and so high profile that you can't possibly just be carrying on this sort of affair with. And I'm gonna go on this limb because I do like the show. I watch the show, but it is stuff that gives it scenes that give me pause because they're groundbreaking scenes, and they use Kerry in this show to break ground with these scenes, but a lot of the stuff that they do in the situation don't necessarily make her look good as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is this is the only problem I got with the show. I know sisters, and being a guy, I know how sisters talk. So I'm going to just flip the script a little bit. Let's say that this show Scandal, forget the politics, let's say it was about a powerful person in corporate America, and the powerful person that runs this big important company is black. He's black with a white wife and got her for a jump off. Sisters would boycott and tear that show apart. They would tear that show apart. First, he's got a white woman,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to use the sister as a dip and a jump off.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you reverse the roles and if he was married to Kerry Washington and the other white chick was to jump off, they would still rip that show apart and rip that brother apart. But every sister I have encountered about this show have no problem with Al Gore banging out this white chick.
Mm-hmm.
black girl. No one has a problem with it.
And that's what I mean. And I can't say every woman I've come across who saw the show, because I've talked to quite a few, especially when we was trying to getting this show out there. I talked to quite a few women who was like, I don't like the fact that she's in that position where it's almost like the whole, what's that, giving 60 seconds or whatever they do, where we just, if nothing exists anymore, and then, like, he's coming to our house, and then the one scene that got me that totally turned me off the way from it was the scene at the hotel. When they first got to the hotel,
mm-hmm.
he was behind her, and she was walking to the room, and she was just like, I can't open my door because the magnetism is just drawing us together. And she just, I didn't like it. It's almost like I had to turn away from it because it didn't make me feel good on the inside.
Right. And then on the other part, when they tried to create the love triangle to try to make her split between having a normal relationship with this one dude who happens to be a black guy, he's supposed to be a black congressman, and whether or not to continue on and keep messing around with the president, they set up this love triangle. But the way the brother looks, no offense to this dude, and I'm sure he's a good actor, but whatever, he don't look like he should be playing in this show. He looks like a human muppet. He looks like Black Guy Smiley. And in comparison to the other dude that she got to choose, it ain't no triangle, because he looks like a goose.
Right. And, I mean, even if it was a position of power, I mean, the new dude, what he was, like I said, I started watching it after that. I watched the first full season when they had the recap, when they was about to bring the second season back.
Okay.
And when I saw it, what position does the new guy have? Black guy.
The new dude is like I say, he's a congressman, and they used to date back in the day, and he's trying to get back in her life, and he don't know that she got it bad for the president, but he's starting to suspect. But it's also twists and turns in that show that has stuff to do with other parts of the plot, so he knows that she's really involved with the president in some way that makes him uncomfortable, but he don't know what it is, and he can't understand why she just can't commit and go with this relationship, and that if he'll ask her a question that has anything to do with the president, she'll stonewall him and take the president's side. But like I say, the dude, 818-514-1202. Any sisters out there, any women out there who have seen the show, which I know you have, if y'all think this dude is handsome or something, hey, come out there and say, I think they could have done a better job casting. I think you said 2 weeks ago, why didn't they get like Blair Underwood or something to play that role?
Yeah, I mean, he fits the bill to me. And I'm not,
He looks safe. You know, he looks safe for television. I mean, if you really want to know my take on it.
You mean safe,
I mean,
in a non-confrontational way, and it'll be cool when he loses to the white guy.
Right. It looks like if the president of the show, the president walks up to the guy and tries to measure him up or size him up, it's like the dude a buckle. It's just to me, that's how it is. That's how it is to me, too. Nothing about the rules screams, nothing about the president screams, I handled my business as far as the fifth or anything else. And that in itself, that made it unbelievable to me. Like, I can't grasp onto the story because I can't see him as this figure of, oh, my God, I can't live life unless I'm with him. And even though he's married, I still love him so much on the inside. It's like nothing about that.
Right.
A big part of her career started when she was working at the White House. So that's how they developed that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, though I understand, you know, your angst with it and, you know, your feelings on it, but I can also kind of see how the story in itself, color aside, how something like that can happen. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things
Bill Clinton.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it's
exactly.
Blue dress and all, right?
Right.
Little dress mayonnaise. Anyway, that's a sponsor. We keep that. Write that down. But no, I mean I totally agree with you. Like you can, things like that can happen even outside of life. I would be wrong to say the fact that the color thing did bother me a little bit. It did. It bothered me. That's kind of why I went the way I went. But Ray, you was going on into a reason why you think you didn't cast a black president at that time.
Yeah, no, I think the smartest thing they did is you don't have a show that's discharged, because the whole thing about the president having an affair while he's in office, this tour affair, you don't make the president black for that show when you got the first black president with his family in there intact and they got this great love of, you know, she didn't want people to jump to that conclusion. So she made sure it was one of the Republican presidents, the Republican administration, it's this white guy. And I mean, I thought that was very smart, because she didn't want to cause any type of controversy and people get turned off because she thinks she's trying to say something about the actual president. So that was smart. But I mean, the show, like I say, I do like the show, and I do watch the show, and the story is great. And I think if you closed your eyes and took Carrie out of it, and took all the blacks out of it, and ran it like one of them shows like Dallas, you probably wouldn't think nothing else about it.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the scenes that they do, they did have Carrie for a reason, and they have went places for a reason that they've never done on TV in this particular context before. And it did kind of rub me the wrong way that they used Carrie in this show to do that. Like I say, it's a scene where President Pimp, that's what I'm going to call him, President Pimp, is in the Oval Office with her, and you got this scene where you see him throw her up on the desk, you see him taking her panties down. There's been scenes where he's been cupping ass, he's been cupping breasts right on TV, and they haven't done that in that particular context on television before. And they're using Carrie to break that ground. But before you start yelling racism, the show was created by a black woman, Sharonda Rhimes, who created Private Practice and Grey's Anatomy. So using that as a jump-off point, 818-514-1202, there's a whole myriad of shows out there that's convoluted like that. They're good shows, good black characters, but at the same time, is it touching on those old stereotypes? Is it what are some of these roles saying, and what do they do? I remember in Private Practice, and Candace, you probably remember, about 2 years ago, we got to talking about that show because one of the storylines is the black couple split up.
Mm-hmm.
The black couple split up. Now, the black couple has been friends with one of the white girls on the show, the white girl that came from Grey's Anatomy. They supposedly been friends since they all went to medical school together. They all just been these great friends. And when the black couple split up, there was a scene where the black girl started dating her, the white girl's brother, and she ain't even dating him. They just screwing, and she's cool with it, and it's fine, and he dogs her out, and the ex-husband, when he found out, he snatched him up because he was gonna whoop him up like, why you gonna be playing her like no hoe? But then at the same time, they turned around and wrote in another story where he started messing with the white girl, and the black girl and the white girl are best friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a big underlying where we got to talking about that, like, no, it don't go down like that. And then I was saying, well, look at how, you know, look at the stuff she did in conjunction. It was cool for her to just break off this chick's brother, but she can't break off the ex. So it was kind of funny like that, but it's those kind of convoluted roles in television today that makes you talk about this stuff.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Candace.
Mm. No, I was just saying, I remember that conversation, and I remember that episode, actually, and I was just saying, yeah, my feelings are the same on it. That was the best friend. You don't cross that line.
Right.
I mean, yes, they both were wrong
in
what they were doing.
But the thing is, things like this do happen, though, so I can see why, how it could possibly seem like it could happen. Like, you know, why we saying it don't go down? Like, in the same sense, we saying it don't go down like that. You can
no, not not in that sense. It shouldn't go down like that. That shouldn't
happen. Yeah,
should.
Okay, I got
that's, you know, that's what he meant.
I got it. Okay, I see that.
Right.
But one thing I can appreciate about Scandal and Carrie's character is it shows that even though she's amassed this status with her career and the power that she has, the influence that she has on people, she's still very vulnerable when it comes to her personal life.
Right.
You know what I mean? When it comes
Hold
to
on,
relationships, she sucks at.
Yeah. No. Let's go into this break real quick, and then when you come back, I'm going to let you finish your statement. Okay? Truth Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers Radio.
I'm fearless, now hear this, I'm fearless, and I'm peerless. That means I'm eyeless, which means I'm tearless, which means my iris resides where my ears is, which means I'm blinded, but I'ma find it. I can feel its nearness, but I'm a veer, so I don't come near like a chicken or a deer. But I remember I'm not a listener or a seer, so my windshield smear. Here you stare, I really shouldn't be behind this, clearly because my blindness.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Cock-a-doodle-doo, it's time for chicken.
Cock-a-doodle-doo, it's time for beef. Eat a 90-piece bucket, you can tell. He's been to Clucking Bell. The chicken is a bird with a tiny brain. So we assume he doesn't feel any pain. We shrink their heads down, we breed them fast. 6 wings, 40 breaths, and then they're gas. Cock-a-doodle-doo, it's psychotic crazy. Cock-a-doodle-doo, factory farming can sing. We denied it all before a surprise fell. Come down to the Clucking Bell.
Clucking Bell! If you enjoy it, the chicken didn't die in vain.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Brothers Radio, we're back, and we're asking, basically we're talking about the scandal of the portrayal of black people on television, and we was finishing off with Candace making a statement.
Yeah, I was just saying that I can appreciate Carrie's character in Scandal. She's amassed so much, like I was saying, in her career and, you know, how she performs her job, how she gets things done. But when it comes to her personal life and relationships, it's a mess. It's a convoluted mess.
Mm-hmm.
And she's grown this attraction for someone who's in power, who she saw come through the ranks, who she helped get elected. You know, so she's developed this bond, you know, mentally and physically with this married man. Now, turning to the wife of the president, it seems like, you know, this is the odd thing with that. She's a very smart, very clever, you know, in a deceitful way, character on the show. But she already knows what's going on between them. She's well aware of it, but because she's so clouded by the power that, you know, and the status that she has being the first lady, she's not willing to give that up.
Well,
she
I wouldn't even call
him,
it clouded.
You know?
I would have said that she knows her role as first lady and how to play to the public and what it takes to be first lady to the president, and she just plays her part. She's a better team member than he is because she has taken a whole lot for the team. And she's you're right, she's used their relationship to the benefit of the administration to keep his head on straight. Because, yeah, they do say in the show that they're supposedly soulmates. They're just that in tune with each other, and it's supposed to be really true love. So he gets emotionally compromised, or he gets stupid. And when he gets stupid, she'll go to her and say, hey, get his head straight. Get him straight.
And then that, but see, that part
to project her position. I got you.
That part in itself makes me feel a certain way, though. Like it's almost like her character is too strong or too powerful for that. I don't want to mean the part.
No, she's a human.
I don't. You know, I mean, I get it.
That's the beauty that I see in it. She's human. She
right.
has this strong, tough exterior.
Right.
But on the inside, when you get down to her core and who she really is when it comes to being emotional and loving and nurturing, she can't have that. She can't have it who she wants it with.
Right. And
she already knows
she's
playing second fiddle. She
right.
knows
it. And they do say that dynamic people in history and dynamic people have these real convoluted personal lives because they personalize get sacrificed for their career, they cause a lot.
Yes.
So that's also how they're portraying her, too. Also, real quick, a point of fact is Kerry Washington's character is based on a real person who served in Papa Bush administration, though none of this side stuff that's playing out on TV ever happened to this person. But her character is based on a real person.
I thought you were going to say Condoleezza.
No, I said Daddy Bush, not Dumbo.
I know. It was a ha ha. But let me go into something else real quick. See, the reason I say that is because I see like a show you didn't watch that I used to enjoy when it was still on the air was House. I used to love House the show.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason being is like I like on that show I like Epps' character format. I love his character. He went from a position of working for that dude to he left the position because he felt like he was getting mistreated. So he wound up not being able to, because on the show, House was like one of the best dietitians in the world. He was the best on the show. He was the best in the world. He was
right.
genius at what he did. And he did things that was off the book, like broke all type of rules, but he saved lives. And that you can't do. He was always right, majority of the time. And
mm-hmm.
the fact that he didn't go by Cole, everybody who was mentoring under him, which one of the characters was Epps and Foreman, Foreman was the name of his character, he wound up, when he left the position, every hospital he went to, he couldn't. I mean, he would save lives. That mentality that House had rubbed off on him. And he realized he couldn't go nowhere else, so he had to go back to Princeton Barrow, where he initially worked for House at. And
right.
in that position, he wound up, when he came back, he couldn't come back as House counterpart. He came back as an advisor to him, so whatever went wrong, he would oversee whatever House was doing. I like that, first off, the initial.
Right.
I like that. I like when he came back, he was like, hey, you can't do that. I know you pull strings over everybody else, but if you do this, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I like that. Then, as the story went on, when House went crazy and drove his car into the dean of medicine's house, because they were dating at the time, long story, he wound up becoming the dean of medicine at that hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And that shows, I watched the progression of when he started,
right.
waited to left, came back, and he went through the whole and wound up managing to be the dean of medicine at the hospital where House ended up working for him. And it's not
right.
a role-based, race-based thing. It was just the way he carried that role.
Right. And that's good. I mean, again, my thing with House was I really don't have a problem with the show. I watched the first episode, and when he told him to break into a house to hell, that's what you do, and that's what you did. It turned me off the first episode, so then I was like, okay, yeah, I'm good. But I'm glad to see that the dude's character evolved into such a good role, because I've been a fan of Omar Epps anyway. I like Omar Epps.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and the thing about that is, though, that it just sends out a different image than what I like than what I see in Carrie's in Carrie's fight. And there's nothing, like I said, there's nothing against her. Her character's the same way. Like I said, I love the fact that they didn't make her dumb. First off, I love the fact that she got that wit. She got the cleverness about her. That it's quiet confidence at the same time. Like, she knows she can get things accomplished. I love that, the ambition. That's the word I was looking for. I love that about her. It's just the relationship just bothers me. That's all it is. Other than that, the show would be great. But I would more or less, I guess you had to have the relationship with the president to add that dynamic to there, but I would have liked to see first that her relationship kicked off with just her doing whatever she did on her own without her having a relationship with him. I would have liked to see how that would have played out.
Yeah, well, that would have been hard. Yeah, the main story to the show is their affair. So that's how they sold the show.
Right.
Right. So
it definitely holds true, because not only do they work to fix scandals, they are themselves a part of a scandal in their own individual ways. Everybody's got something.
I got a question for y'all. Anybody else out there? 818-514-1202. In all of television, who is the realest black character on television right now to you guys?
Hammer. No, it's what?
Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman.
And what?
What show is
Morgan
he on?
Morgan Freeman.
In Black
on the Science Channel. On the Discovery Channel.
Yes, man. I know what you're talking about, Through the Wormhole. But that's a science. Man, he narrating. I'm talking about a drama or a TV show acting. I mean, what character out there has been created that you really, really like and, you know, that's kind of real to you? Justice said Shamar Moore in Criminal Minds. I've heard he's good in that.
I was gonna go with LL on.
I was gonna say
that's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah, I was gonna
say very good in that show.
Right, especially the scene that I saw the last episode I saw when they killed his friend and he just. The emotion and everything and the progress seemed like how we would handle it, but he knew the greater good. So, yeah, I would have. I mean, for right now, if you asked me to just come with a decision right now, I would say him. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No. I mean, I don't think it's Jaleen said Ice-T, but she's laughing. Ain't he on Law and Order?
Law and Order, yeah, I know. That's a real good question, because if you think about it, though, there's not a lot of us.
No, actually, I was making the point the opposite way. I was bringing it out to show that there is a lot of great black roles out there that the roles are changing. And there's a lot of people doing a lot of great work out there. I mean, like you said, LL, Shamar Moore, sister on Person of Interest,
Taraji P.
Mm-hmm.
She is awesome in that show. Very good role.
Yeah, I give you that.
Very
that's
good role.
Like, if you go there, then what else? I mean, what else? Because I mean, what else do you have? I mean, if you
I mean,
notice those
you
roles,
have a lot.
But I mean, you're getting typecast as cop or criminal.
Versus what?
No, I wouldn't. You mentioned Omar Epps, who is a doctor. Kerry Washington, who is a lawyer. You got short brother's name in Private Practice?
Tay Diggs.
His character has diminished in the past 2 years, but the show is getting stale and falling off. But I mean, for a good 3 years, man, his character was excellent. He got an excellent role on that show for a while until until they, I think they just done ran out of story and they done just mushed it around.
Yeah,
and
it's done. It's the camp.
As of now, as the shows that are hot right now. That's what I'm asking. Like, I give Scandal's hot now, Law and Order, CSI, all of those are what's hot now. And I'm asking, like, what else do we have?
Well, we just gave you a bunch.
House is off. They said the other show is falling off.
He's
first,
saying
I mean,
current.
Right.
Yeah, what's current? That's what I'm saying. What's hot
okay,
now?
Okay, it's a show called Deception. It's a show called Deception with, Megan Good. This is a good show. It's a show that's like revenge, where they're trying to figure out who murdered the friend of the star, and it's a real good show.
Yeah, I know that's fairly.
Okay, I'm gonna check that one out.
What is she playing though? What role is she playing?
She's a detective. She's a cop.
But that's what I'm saying. That goes back
that's
to
not,
cop
but that's not that's not stereotyping the black characters.
No.
You got doctor shows and cop shows are what's hot on television right now.
But that's
as far
what
as
I'm
drama
saying,
shows,
as far as when you're getting cast, I understand those are the hot shows right now, and I get that. But if you bring up a show like if you say The Gang, you can't say that that's a hot. If that cast, when people look at that show instantly, they're gonna say, okay, it's about the black athletes, and they're gonna do what black athletes do, drink, smoke, play football, and whatever.
Right,
and,
but we're talking about good shows.
I know, and that's my point. And I'm saying, as far as good shows, we're only cast as cops and criminals because that's all that's out now. That was my point. You say what?
We just mentioned doctors and lawyers.
He's saying
those shows are over. We're talking now.
Scandal isn't over.
No. Okay. You said House. House was shows over. That show's been completed. That is ran its course. It's not
okay.
Right,
right now,
show.
I would say NCIS. Because that one's still on. NCIS
right.
is a good one.
Right.
Grey's Anatomy.
That's a doctor.
Huh?
He's saying cops and doctors. Well, he said cops and criminals, but I get what he's saying.
Right.
Now,
I'm just trying to throw out all the current shows right now
right.
that have positive
right.
and or negative.
Right. Exactly.
But
exactly.
then you also want to include those shows that's in syndication too.
True.
Because whether they're current
yeah,
or not, they're still
being
aired.
True. My only argument was what was new. That was my, I mean, not even new, but
mm-hmm.
what's new and what's not. That was my only argument. I wasn't
right.
trying to, like, I mean, in syndication, you got all your great shows. The Cosby's is still in syndication.
Right.
No, I think I thought you meant, like, first one shows on that's syndicated. No, that's not. You meant rerun. I got you.
As of right now. As of today, yes, we got as far as new shows, you know, within the last year or two, you know, you do have a cavalcade of buffoonery mixed in with your NCIS and other, you know, shows that do reflect us in a decent light. But even
right.
for those shows that are in syndication, you got the Cosby Show, then you got Meet the Brown, then you got the Parker, you know, so you got a mixture. Either way it goes, those shows are still being aired, so people are still seeing them. The good and the bad.
Let me ask a quick question. Why is there no comedy? Like, I'll give you a prime example. Why is there no Big Bang Theory for us? Just curious.
Because they don't
believe. Let's ask this question. Would we really watch it?
Yep.
But that's the whole point, though. We not, I mean...
But see these companies are not interested in giving you knowledge. They're interested in making money, and they're going to make money on the entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can keep it simple and funny,
mm-hmm.
they can keep you tuning in, as opposed to making you think. Now, I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's right at all, because I think for the good of the order, you should have a show to balance that, you know, with African Americans. But you won't get it. Because
it's
not lucrative, it's not feasible to do that because you don't have a demographic who's going to watch it, and it's going to fail.
Well, and even as you're saying that, Let's just say there was a dude out there who's trying to produce like a Big Bang Theory with blacks on it or whatever, something that cuts against the grain, and he wants to present it. One of the biggest radio shows is Tom Joy and the Morning Show. Huge numbers, big demographic, and one of the dudes that do their commentary is Huggy Lowdown. Funny dude. But one of the times he was doing one of his little sticks and one of his little skits, he brought up the fact and he dogged out Big Bang Theory, saying that black people ain't trying to watch no Big Bang Theory. And when you put stuff out there like that out in the airwaves, you reinforce dumb stereotypes like that. You reinforce that stuff. I love Big Bang Theory. That's one of my favorite shows.
Mm-hmm.
But see, by you saying that, you kill that stereotype. And by the more, I mean, like I said, it depends on the person though. And if you feel as if one person won't watch it because of the way that we think, or the way you think they would think, I don't think that makes a difference though.
Yeah, but
I mean,
they don't
produce
shows like that. They don't produce shows under them circumstances.
Someone would have to tell
you. Well, hold on. They do testing, and they do demographics, and they do. Look, I've been invited like twice to screen and look at different type of commercials and different type of TV shows. Kenneth, I think you went with me for one of those, but we went and
yeah.
We went to this hotel room, and they had like 150 people in the room, and they screened these different type of commercials and different type of TV shows to see how the people would like it. So if someone did do a black Big Bang Theory or something, it would have to be a good enough show to get past the testing and to test it out against the public to see if they would like it. So just because he said that don't mean that they don't do that. I'm just saying because he's got such a platform and such a voice, he subliminally planted something in people's minds by saying dumb stuff like that. That's all.
Yeah, no doubt. I agree with you on that.
Right.
What I think would have to happen for us to want to have even the younger people get into Big Bang Theory is, number one, they would have the show itself would have to cast a black character. Number two, you have to do it through word of mouth because media is not going to put it out there for you, or BET is not going to put it on their network for you to tune into.
Exactly.
So in order for that to be engaged, that's the only way it can happen. Kids at school will have to start talking about it. It has
you
to be on
so?
The net, black networks for them to even come across it. It's
you're
on
saying
CBS.
That's the environment
today. How many black people
today,
watch CBS outside of game day?
Right. So you're saying that. What I'm saying, you're saying that that's the environment today?
Yes.
Okay. Because I was going to say, a different world should have broken that right in half. That was prime time number one show for a long time, and it did fine, and it was almost like a black Big Bang Theory in a particular sense, and just it was so positive of showing people being smart and going to school and learning. But I guess
it was 20 years ago
saying.
Too.
Yeah, true. That's what I'm saying. That's
it was
20
years ago, well over. You know, so. And, you know, you got a whole new generation. So, like I said, yes, I'm not a big fan of big media, not at all. But you have to find other ways to get people, get our people engaged in that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And maybe we can start doing our parts, putting little clips of it on our, on our Truth Brothers page.
I mean, I think we do it every day. Every day we hit the air.
We do. Don't get me wrong.
We try to change the stereotype of what, not even just radio, but internet radio. I think we do that every week. I'm just trying to change people's idea of what they would expect from certain stations, especially certain ones that's here in our surrounding area.
Mm-hmm. True, 818-514-1202. And we're getting a lot of comments in the chat room. Chat room's blowing up, but I want to hear from y'all out there. Call in and give your comment. One of the questions was, do you think that we have to become more critical when it comes to blacks in comedy shows? And I think that's a real good point. I think the drama thing is working out rather well, but I do. I think we need to raise the bar when it comes to black comedy shows, because I think people believe that when you talk black comedy, you're thinking more of the Meet the Browns and House of Pain rather than different world of comedy shows.
Or better yet, like if you want to bring it up to a recent time, because I know to hold a show to the Cosby Show is like real. It's a standard that should have been met a long time ago. But
right,
I mean nobody has done it. Nobody. The only show I seen recently that tried to do it was My Wife and Kids.
Okay.
That was the only other show that I've seen that tried to meet that level. And
right.
I like that show. And it was comedy, though. It was comedy, and it was real. And he let the kids grow up and follow the procedures of the ins and outs of growing up or whatever. So that was one. It got canceled, which I still don't understand why, but
well, it's simple. No one watched it. It's simple.
Mm.
It's simple.
Yep.
They didn't watch it.
But you know what's crazy about that though? My Wife and Kids is in syndication right now on almost seven or eight networks is on syndication. The Game got canceled and was only on one network, on BET, right? One network, and people watched those reruns so much that they brought that show back and made totally new episodes. You mean to tell me My Wife and Kids is on seven to eight? Hold on. You mean to tell me My Wife and Kids is on seven to eight different networks? People are tuning in watching this show. And we can't bring that one back.
No, I agree with you. But I'm telling you, when the CW dropped the Game, BET had came out early and said that they were making the decision to get the show, and they had plans out the gate to bring it back. So they end up marketing and advertising and beating the band to drum up the interest of bringing this show back. They put work in any show.
But remember when they actually first started after BET picked it up, when your boy, I can't remember the light skinned guy that played on the show. Well, anyway, I can't remember his name right now. When he jumped to the show on USA, oh, this was before they even really started bringing the show back. Everybody was sitting there, you know, doing their own thing, and BET said, "We're going to run the rerun to see first what happened." They ran the rerun first. They didn't initially come out and say, "We're going to bring the show back."
Remember when
Pooch Hall got out there, he was the one that said, "Man, if it wasn't for y'all watching these reruns consistently, we would not be back."
Exactly. That was BET marketing plan from the get-go. As soon as that show got canceled, they had their whole plan in place. Yes, they were going to purchase the rights for the reruns. That's so they can get the rights to bring the show back. And they start rotating it heavily throughout their rotation to turn and build up that interest. And then they brought it back. But that was their mission from the get-go. Like you said, I mean, the other show you mentioned, if BET would have had that same determination to bring back this positive show, it would have worked too, but they didn't. They said, no, we're gonna put our money on the Game.
Because
we figured that's what y'all like. Oh, we do got a call in, though. Hold on. Tony, back on.
Hey there.
Hey.
I want to go back to the question about shows such as different world comedies such as My Wife and Kids. I would think, I guess it would be my thought that those type of shows aren't made anymore. I think blacks have become so critical when it becomes comedy because we will pick out everything that is remotely somewhat of being buffoonery. We become so serious, you know. So
yeah.
Those shows, you know, that we call comedy, we would want to see comedy, but are we willing to allow them to take the chance on these shows? Because even as bad as, you know, Meet the Browns and those types of shows, even as bad as they are, some people still say it's comedy, but we still criticize it as being buffoonery. It's bad writing. And I don't think we have the writers for comedy that we used to, unless they decide to get some of the Kevin Harts and and turn them into writers. But I don't think anybody's willing to do that as far as networks are concerned.
I think you're right, Tony. I totally agree with that. Meet the Browns, to me, it just seems as though Tyler Perry is more channeling into what we as black people should be able to identify with than actually giving us something of substance. You get so caught up into the look of Mr. Brown.
Right.
Everybody's overweight, diabetes, cholesterol, everything is oh so funny every single episode. And my daughter likes the show. I hate it.
Yeah,
but
I don't like
it. I force myself to sit there and watch it with her one day just to try to get an idea as to why she liked it.
Mm-hmm.
She's still young, so, what it says to me is not what it's saying to her.
She's not as critical as the writing. You know, we've become critical as we continue to mature, get older, and see what quality programming is, then we become more critical, you know. So then that then sends the message that, you know, we don't want those shows, which is probably not ultimately true, but it sends that message. Because if we're not supporting that kind of programming, then who's going to go out here and write it?
Right. But at the same time, a lot of these shows that did come out and try to have the writing and try to have a substance, it's got to get pushed right by the network that got it to begin with. And sometimes they don't know what to do with a show, and especially if it's something that got some substance. But it seems like they really know how to push the lowest common denominator stuff. They know how to push the Browns because it's just pushing something to your basic instinct. But something with substance to it, they act like they're scared to appeal to your higher nature.
Right, and you know what, I find it interesting because you brought up Different World. Although the show was full of comedic gesture, it pushed the agenda of higher education.
Mm-hmm.
It pushed the agenda of, if you can remember, the show had gone through a series of changes because the characters were getting older. They were graduating college. Then they were forming marriages, and all of these different things were going on. But I think what happened is that I don't believe the networks or the people behind the networks and the money actually thought that they can continue such a series. I don't think they really wanted basic America or white America to see that, yes, we do go to college.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we do, you know, move on with our lives and form families and have children. You know, I don't think that they wanted to see the succession of these things. And I don't think that
people, I agree with
that's
that.
My thought. That's just my thought.
In a particular defense, all successful shows after they have a long run, and Different World had a very long run, and it's definitely a very noted successful show, whether black or white, it's a very successful show. It was like number one for a long number of years, even after Cosby went off, so it was able to sustain and hold its own by itself. But all shows, whether it's Friends or whatever, they evolve the characters to a certain point where people just start losing interest. And when you see them, like, well, we're going to marry these two off, or we're going to do this, they're trying to shape the show up to get people interested, and then after a while, it just doesn't work, and then they got to go ahead and let it go. I think in Different World's case, that's kind of what happened.
And
that everybody
could be,
just
right, but you can also have another show come out that
ends from there. Right.
They can go into the corporate world, or they,
it's
a transition into different show. It doesn't have to be the same characters. I understand people, you know, people and characters get stale after a while.
Exactly.
But it just seems that in recent years that there's been no real push to have an agenda to put decent television on for African Americans. It just does not seem that way. And you would think with having a network, Black Entertainment, that you would really, you know, you would try to mesh in some education along with that entertainment.
Right, but you got to remember, Black Entertainment is owned by Viacom. And in the end, they got to submit to the mother nipple. I'll tell you something else. BET was supposed to produce the Black Panther television series. This was an animated series by Marvel about one of the best black characters in their comic book line and the most controversial, for that matter, too. The show is excellent. You can buy the Marvel end up selling the thing on DVD, so you can find the show. But because this show dealt with a strong African nation and the nation was going to be besieged by different countries and the Catholic Church put pressure on Viacom to pull the show, and BET submitted.
Well, of course.
But see, and that goes back to, you know, like there was another show that was about to come out, and I know everybody knows about the show, the Shawty Low Show, with all my old mamas.
Right.
That was going to come out on Oxygen, and so many people got outraged because of how it was going to be portrayed that they wound up counseling, but they took so long to come behind and say, you know what, we need to get. We still going to push this show. Oxygen was still going to do this show. They still were going to do it after everybody blew up. Every black organization, you even had some white blow up about the fact that this dude was going to come on with 9 baby mothers all living in one house, and they were going to make a show about this dude. And the fact that it took, that they were still considering putting this show out, and they still consider it, because this idiot is saying, yo, y'all need to push my show back through. And I'm sitting here like, dude, you don't understand what you're doing. You're setting us back another 300 years with this.
Right.
Now, thinking about his social responsibility to you, he's got 11 kids and now baby mamas.
Right, but see, he was trying his best to, at every effort and every turn, to try and become, you know, more financially sound because of all these baby mamas.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the problem was, is that, and I think the reason why that people were going against what he was trying to do and what Oxygen was trying to do is because they were using us, or using him, to depict us in this light that,
exactly,
you know, that this is okay, when we don't agree that what he was doing was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And the scary part is, thank goodness there was enough pressure applied to get this show canceled before it even reached the airwaves, because the scary part is, with the corporate push that they could have given it, what if this show came out to be very, very popular and very successful amongst the reality shows? Then that would have just been another nail in our coffin.
Exactly, because then just says that we as black people condone having all these children with all these different mothers, and you got them under one roof, and that just means, you know, to me, it's like an animalistic approach to who we are, and it's not that.
Yeah.
And that's
and
what
it's
it was.
Not even, it's not even just that, though. It's the fact that the show even made it to the idea table, and they decided to even start shooting for it. That's what irritates me. You even decided to start shooting the show.
Lowest common denominator. Another great movie out there. Watch Bamboozled and see how a lot of black shows make it to television under that movie. It's very interesting. But also, all your The Jeffersons, Good Times, a lot of these shows were not written by black people. They were written in a room full of white people telling you how you're supposed to act.
Telling you who you're supposed to be.
Exactly.
We were all supposed to be, you know, on welfare in the projects. We were all supposed to be, you know, the George Jefferson, you know, good time, happy shuffling and all that kind of stuff, acting a fool. You know, if that's not who we're supposed to be. It's not that they said that's the way we act. They are putting in our minds and in our presence of who we're supposed to be. So everybody is walking around walking like George Jefferson, you know, that kind of thing. That's what they want us to be, not the way we act.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, in the least bit, though, I mean, for what it's worth, I never had a problem, a real problem with Sherman Hemsley's character. I never had a real, because I looked at it like this. Even though he was the type of guy he was, as far as like, haha, whatever you want to call it, he still had his own business. He still moved his family into trying to get them a better life. See, I take what I see and I try to put that to, okay, what are the positives out of the situation? With everything I look at, I try to say, okay, I see the negative. Okay, what positive can I see? That means he didn't make it out of drug money. He worked hard, dry cleaner, and then he wound up getting a chain, and then he moved, like the song, he moved on up. So, but that's part in itself. Go ahead.
But that's the intelligent part of the audience.
Right.
Being able to discern that is where he came from, and he worked hard. That's the intelligent part of the audience. The other end of the spectrum is the spectrum that he's loud, he's boisterous, he's a clown. You know, Florida's, you know, loud mouth, doesn't want to do anything. She's, you know, got a job as a maid, but she sits on her ass. That's the other end of the spectrum.
Right, yeah. Right. I mean, you got to remember with any show, especially dealing with black people, period, you got to look for your rise and fall in any show. That's why we were talking about Scandal the way we did. Scandal is a good example of that. Your rise and fall is embedded in that show, period, because of the different aspects that the show takes that we were talking about. Yes, yeah, she's positive. She's a lawyer. She's hardworking, this, that, that. But she's also a homewrecker. They're also saying that, you know, it goes back to harking that, you know, when we show black women in a lot of these, you're only good to be the jump off or the maid. Your rise and fall is embedded in that. And because of how long television has been out and what we've all been through, it's very convoluted. It ain't just black and white no more.
Right, Because the messages are so deep.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it's just, you know, it takes those that are, you know, with intelligence and intellect to discern, you know, and split that hair. You know, you just have to split the hair and figure out, okay, well, we know that she's, you know, intelligent. We know that she's an attorney. We know that she's a fixer. But on the other end of the spectrum, coming in from the other end, yes, she is a homewrecker. Yes, she is selling her body off just to be, you know, to be with this white man. She is, you know, doing all these different things that are, you know, under the carpet. So it's just a matter of how you're splitting that hair.
Exactly. And I mean, as far as, and I don't blame her, because on paper, or just even on its face, I mean, her character, I could see how a actor or actress would be drawn to that character. It's a very complex character, and I'm sure it's real fun to play.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, her character in itself, if you looked at it on paper, you'd love her character. One thing, like I said, I love about it is that she's not dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Not an
right.
idiot
mm-hmm.
by no means. She's real clever. I love she's confident. She got ambition. I love all of those parts about her character. Please don't get me wrong with that. It's just
right.
the other side. Like you said, it's a rise and fall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and are you willing to take the positive of what she has in that show over the fall?
Right.
I mean, but that's with everything. Unfortunately, with some shows, your fall is more highlighted than your rise in some of these shows. So I mean, with anything, you got to learn how to eat the fish and spit out the bones.
Right.
Let me ask you this real fast though. We were just talking about people who are portrayed as clowns, and we said George Jefferson was one as far as how he is his character. Who's the biggest clown though, him or Mr. Brown?
Mr. Brown.
Okay.
Mr. Brown.
For sure.
Yeah,
yo, Mr. Brown represents buffoonery and just straight fall. It ain't even, he ain't got no rise to him at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, he appeals to your basic common denominator, your basic instinct.
We just see more black
writers. I never saw the positive about the Brown. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
We need more black writers, more black producers, directors, and more black people to put their money into the studios.
That's right.
For control.
Yeah. And that's what it is. That's where it starts, with the studios. Because I know
people who write.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't think it's for lack of writers. I think it's for lack of being able to get good television and good music, for that matter, transmitted. So,
we're about to get into our second hour topic. Is the sex really important? And everybody chime in. This should be a fun one. I've been looking forward to this one all week. Truth Brothers Radio. Truth Brothers Radio.
Typing pool at work, think of you more as a teddy bear than a tiger. Do you whack off in your minivan while listening to Teen Pop? You know, you'll be dead soon. You've missed out on so much. It's not too late to make a change. At the Midlife Crisis Center, we know you've made a success of yourself. Why are you sharing it with others? Why not enjoy it while you have a chance? What's holding you back? Cowardice. We'll get you to the other side of your despair. We specialize in real estate, divorce attorneys, mistress placement, plastic surgery, hair coloring and replacement, male fur coats, and much more. With a designer clothing store and sports car dealership on site, the Midlife Crisis Center will help you discover life while you still can. Come with your wife, leave with a sports car. While you've made a success of yourself, her chest has gone south. How can you have that trollop on your arm for a second longer? The answer is you can't. Ignore your children. Take yourself seriously. Visit the Midlife Crisis Center today.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
I guess it helped if I turn on the mics. Truth Brothers Radio. Yeah, it's been a minute, and we are back. This is the second hour of Truth Brothers. I'm Ray.
And I'm Devon.
And we are the Truth Brothers. The number to give us a call is 818-514-1202. 818-514-1202.
And as always, you guys know you can hit us up at our email at wewanttruth@att.net. Truth is spelled T-R-U.
There we go.
That's bang.
Dun, 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 dun.
It's not all Wolf Speed. Candace is trying to get is in the chat room and doing her thing.
Thank you.
We was waiting for you to say something.
Hey, you all cut out again. I couldn't hear you.
Oh, okay. Well, now let's get to the crust of the meat, right? Literally. Well, sex.
How is it?
Is it important at all?
Can you be in a sexless relationship?
No.
Because I've heard people. Yeah, right, roll the credit.
Right.
Right. No, I've heard people say that they could be in a sexless relationship.
Who?
Yeah, who? Were they in the
60s, 70s, or 80s? Even then, our plans don't get sent it in.
That's kind of where I'm at. I can understand it better if that were the case.
I'm planning on getting me some Cialis at 80. Not tomorrow, just
right.
At 80.
Yeah. I just have bottles of tequila laying around.
For y'all, though, so you don't need that. But y'all
it's cheaper than Cialis, and
but
I wouldn't take Cialis anyway, but you get the general idea.
I got you. But to really get there, though, I do believe that sex is a very, very important common denominator in a relationship. I feel like it's extremely important. I don't know. I mean, outside of strict compatibility, sex comes second. A straight up high second to me.
A high second.
Though, like, could you? Let's 818-514-1202. Can anybody really, honestly, be in a sexless relationship?
Would you want to?
Nope.
I mean, if you're forced into it, I mean, there's times you could be forced into it.
Yeah, there's
times you could be forced into it, and I get that, but I don't want to be, I'm not going to volunteer.
Yeah, I mean, like, let's just ask this. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to Truth Brothers. If you were in a relationship and something happened to your significant other, they couldn't have sex. Like your boy, he's walking around on a skateboard now from the waist down. From the waist
right.
up.
Okay.
Right. They call him Willie.
Yeah. And he's doing all the extra, but he's doing it on his hands only. Could you stay with that dude?
I could stay with him, but we'd have to have an understanding that I'm going to have to do some things outside.
Really?
Wow. Why
really?
You're asking me to go a lifetime.
For love.
I grease your wheels.
Oh, like, love has nothing to do with it, but there's still a physical need. And, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, if the shoe were on the other foot, I would have to understand that, hey, look, you know, he may still love me. He'll take care of me. He'll make sure I still come number one. But his physical needs need to be met.
Okay, with that being said, you the dude, right? He takes care of your physical needs. You know you can't do that no more. Are you cool with that, though?
I'm not cool with being incapacitated, but if he's still willing to stay with me and take care of me, it would be hard for me to deal with. But in a grander scheme of things, I mean, sex is important to a certain extent. But when you have something like that happen to you, I mean, you know, it's hard enough, and it's going to be stressful for both parties. So I would have to, you know, if I love him enough, I would have to understand that. And if that's the one thing that's going to, you know, that'll make things better, in so to speak, for him to go out and, you know, I don't necessarily want to know about it. I'm not saying that. But I'm not going to be oblivious to the fact that he's got physical needs.
Yeah, Hot Topic said that most people would say they would stay, but most people wouldn't be honest about getting.
They would not be honest about it. Would not.
Andrea said you'd have to hold a gun to my head and hold me hostage to force me into that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to hug you.
I
can love you, but yeah, look, hey.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just, hey, Stubby, I love you, and I always make sure that your stubs are clean, but
you would leave your spouse?
I didn't say I would leave. I said, hey, Stubby, I'm going to make sure your stubs are clean.
But I need to get out.
Got
to tiptoe.
Okay, but what makes that different from what I said?
Nothing. No one said.
It's nothing.
Oh, okay. I thought you were disagreeing that maybe it's a static that's kind of throwing me off a little bit.
I think we all on the same page as far as we both know, well, we all know that. It's to a point where no matter how much you love a person, you're gonna stay with them, but you're gonna go out and get your own. We're gonna say feeling. You're gonna go out there and
right.
get your feel.
Right.
So I mean, hey, but does that make you a bad person? I guess
no, it makes you human. I mean, look, again, get off of the stuff, people. We're getting off that regular relationship, lady. Can you be with a dude who may not be the size you accustomed to or may not be as adept in the boudoir as you would like, but, you know, hey, he's adequate in everything else. He might pay bills. Is that good enough?
Mm.
No.
818-514-1202. Just ask it. I want to hear from the woman trainer because I keep seeing that name up, but she ain't made a comment.
That's a guy.
That might be. I said I want to hear from him. So,
you know what? If a person says, if a person just goes out and says, you know what? I think I could that. You know what? We're going to even say a person. I'm going to say me. Could I be with somebody who the sex was not what I'm accustomed to as far as like off the chain, over the I could. I really could.
Yeah.
I really could.
Could you not cheat on them?
That would be, yeah. Now, that's the question. Yeah, you could with an asterisk at the bottom.
I could.
You know what? Because
I really could.
Yeah, but you know what? People do say, you know, first off, being in a monogamous relationship, they always make the thing of saying, okay, well, do you want the same steak every day? Because that's what you're subjecting yourself to. And that's in a regular monogamous. Now, what if it's dry, bad steak every day? What if it's cooked steak?
If it's cold chicken.
What if it's cold chicken? I'd have a problem with someone who lays there like a cold fish. And I suppose. I don't know.
That's good point. I mean, but at the same time, though, I think a lot of times we feel like we're obligated to stay regardless of if the sex is bad or not. Because
right.
You got people who will look at you, oh, man, you cheated on for what? Because
right.
Sex was garbage.
And then, and let's be honest, whenever a guy leaves anything, he rarely has a good excuse as that's going to supposed to be justified as why he left. Now, women say, oh, yeah, 5 minute man. Yeah, no, I got out of there. Girl, high five.
I know, I ain't handling
it. Right.
I got you.
Right.
Couldn't even get me there.
Right. But you know what? You know how, and ladies, again, I want to get some comments from guys out there. A lot of, to me, I've come across a lot of women who seem to have that attitude that, you know what, all I just got to do is lay there. And he's got to do this right. He's got to do the work. He better bring it. I'm just bringing this baby's body to the field.
I do know a lot of women who feel that way. I do know a lot of women that just look. This is me.
Right. I'm bringing this, and this is, I'm good.
I'm gonna lay back here.
Now do what you do.
Get your Sealy on. So I do know a lot of people think like that though, and that's an issue in itself though. I guess you can say that because everybody wants. I mean, as what's the word I'm looking for? As calm or as studious as we appear or try to appear, everybody has that little inner person in them that say, "Hey, man." In the back of her throat. Like, everybody has that.
Yikes! What?
Yeah, everybody has that. Hey, man, put your knee
oh,
on.
Oh, wow.
And some women are into that. Some women like the whole.
The knee at the back of the throat.
Yeah, put your knee.
The point of your knee. First off, get some pointy knees.
There you go.
I got you. Okay.
Yeah, but no, so some women are. And then you got women that just, nothing, just. Regular, give me 87th grade game. I want 87th grade. Don't even go to 89. Give me 87th grade gas. So, whatever. I can't get the idea of sex not being a major part in a relationship. And whoever says that, they're lying. It's for us.
Right.
It's like women who can't say, oh, he's a preacher, and I could be with him because he's a preacher, and he chose to give up sex until he was married. Okay. Now, ask yourself this. You find out your preacher ain't giving your holy blessings. Now what? After married him, he's not giving you your holy milk. Are you
your
good
holy
with that?
Milk.
Your holy
milk. There you go.
Are you
oh, my God.
Whatever. I'm speaking real. If you the reason I feel like you have to, I think sex is important because you have, especially if you get into a relationship with somebody, you have to know what you're going to deal with if you choose to deal with this person.
I do agree with that, especially if you've already had sex. I do agree with that. Now, you two virgins starting out, yeah, cool, fine.
Right.
But, yeah, you got to know what you getting into. I do agree with that.
And that's important. That's
it is. In that facet, it is important, yes.
Right. So, question is, okay, is it really?
Hey, fellas, I think we need to take a break. I think we need to take a break. We need to check some things really quick, audio-wise.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back with more Truth Brothers Radio. And is sex really important? Truth Brothers Radio. Truth Brothers Radio.
If you don't have an iPhone, I'd ask you what's wrong with you, but I already know. You're poor, or a loser, or a person who doesn't care about technology, which means you're either poor or a loser. We didn't even make this commercial to sell you an iPhone. We made it to mock you for being one of the have-nots. We are the Sneetches with stars upon thars, and you are one of the regular Sneetches. If you don't have an iPhone, honestly, good. In your face. If you don't have an iPhone, frankly, go fuck yourself.
True Brothers Radio.
Memories on corners with the foes and the moles. Watch up the floor for the road, talking straight forward to hoes. Got Uncle Jack smoking, some will blow up their nose to cope with their lows. The wind is holding it blows. In they socks and they stoles, niggas holding they rolls. Corners leave souls open and closed, hoping for more, but nowhere to go. Niggas rolling in droves, they shoot the wrong way cause they ain't knowing they go.
Truth Brothers Radio, we're back and we're asking again, is sex really important when it comes to relationships? And after a mile, whatever, we are back and we're doing what we do best. I think we left off talking about if you before you get married, should you have sex with a person and things like that. And we both, me and Candace actually was the ones who agreed that yes, you should, because you need to know what you're getting yourself into. We both feel like that's a very, very important thing, especially seeing as how sex is one of the things that keep people wanting to come back to a relationship.
Exactly. And the question I was about to ask was, if you're already, you know, you're not a virgin, you've been out in the game for a while, but you come across somebody that you like, and they've been taking something for marriage, should you marry a virgin?
I would.
I think that, to me, that might raise the level of having bad. Why I want to marry you and then find out that you're terrible or unwilling to learn or got a lot of hang-ups, and
well,
I don't know. I like
to. Oh,
I don't think I can marry a virgin.
I got you. But I took it as my brain went elsewhere. I took it as would you do a virgin, and then once she got, yeah, okay, you know what?
No, would you marry a virgin, and then I don't want to lock myself up in a long-term relationship with someone who we ain't even tried that level. And I don't care about the oral and the hand and all that they do.
The hand.
You know, they do everything up until they can tell it. And I don't know. I don't want to hear that. Hand ain't going to get me by for 10 years. I don't want to hear that.
I think it would be easier for a man to marry a virgin. Because, and, you know, ladies, correct me if I'm wrong, but it just seems like there's more of a emotional connection with a guy being your first as a woman. As opposed to a guy, it being his first, you know, he may want to go out and try everything. Yeah, you might like Pepsi, but then you want to try Dr. Pepper and Sprite and ginger ale and, you know, I just think that that would be more or less the result. Now, fellas, you can probably speak to that better than I can.
Well, me personally, I think it's easier for women to marry a virgin because
right, that they gonna train them.
Exactly,
they gonna train them.
We can
train them to get him ready to drink Sprite and Dr. Pepper and ginger ale.
Right, but see, that's the thing. If you marry this virgin, right, the first time you get up with him, you'll go ahead. He'll probably last all the 37 seconds. That's fine. But after that curiosity out of him,
right,
he's gonna every day he's gonna get better, right? He's gonna, we'll say he's supposed to be better because the more
mm-hmm.
the better you're supposed to be at it.
Sure.
Now, with guys who marry a virgin, guys, all the way up, the more they do, the more they, things they want to try.
Yeah,
women,
but
virgin,
they also
that's what
trying to please her.
Right, exactly.
But if a guy marries a virgin and you've been out in the world, hell, you done got it in, you done lived your life, threesomes, all that, you done did it to the hilt, and you're going to do a virgin, and then you're going to say, okay, let me show you this. No, I can't do that. No. The Bible says, no, and no, I can't do. Well, if they're saving themselves, a lot of times it's for religious purposes, I'm saying.
I got you.
So they just, oh, no, you have, no.
Yeah, you
a guy who's been out there who considers himself a freak can't chain himself to a virgin because you've got to get her up to your level. And if she don't want to go, she's not going. Now, a woman who's got a virgin dude, you're going to get him to your level
because if
and he may not
stuff,
go
he's
right. He's
pump.
Not going to go beyond what you want unless he starts cheating, and then that's something different. But we're just saying
you
the,
can get him
the male
level
virgin,
of
if he lasted
head.
That long, he's going to be loyal to you most likely.
Absolutely.
He lasted this long. Oh, and we got a caller.
No.
Yeah, before we go there, let's go with the caller. Tony, you're on with the Truth Brothers.
Truth Brothers. Hey, Candace.
Hey, Tony.
How are you guys doing?
Pretty good.
That's been better.
You know what? The thing is that, you know, I think Candace hit the nail on the head when she said women have an emotional attachment when you talk about sharing the body.
Right.
They immediately get attached. You go and train this girl to your likings, to your preferences in the bedroom, and it's all good in the beginning. Everything's working fine. Now, what happens when you find that relationship is not working, that marriage is now ending? You're going to find her to be a Fruit Loop. She's going to flip out because she's got a greater emotional attachment because she was a virgin, taking something away from her that she can never get back.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, on the other hand, when you're talking about a woman saying, quote unquote, training a man that is a virgin to her liking, you know, I don't think there's not the emotional attachment that there is with the woman. He's mm-hmm. just going to take what you've taught him, and he's going to move on, and he's going to try to get into expert status of maybe exemplifying those things that you've taught him, and then gaining something else.
That's a woman too, because I mean you could take a woman who might be a virgin and you might trip her freak switch and she might go overboard and be like, yeah, let me try it all.
That's true, but that's gonna take some time. That's gonna take a lot of time and a lot of you have to be comfortable with something like that. And for someone who's been a virgin, you know, depending on how old they are at the time that you know. Finally decide to get hitched. I mean, that's a lot, you know. Like Tony and I were saying, it's that emotional bond.
Right.
You're planning to spend your life with this person. You've given them a piece of yourself that's extremely special that you, like Tony said, you can't get back.
Right.
So even if after the marriage doesn't work, she's still going to have that emotional connection to you, and it might not be as easy as to say, okay, well, let me see what's going on with the next person.
Right,
because
right.
you're not really thinking that. Right. Women take sex more emotionally. Guys are more physical.
Right, right. And I see that in the chat room, Jay commented that her emotions are not tied to being between her legs, and that's fine. Some women feel that. Some women feel that you have to have the all-out emotional connection, someone that can connect. But at some point, even though that you can, you feel that you have to be stimulated intellectually, somehow or another, the body plays a key in that. So you cannot get away with just saying, oh, well, you know, you can't destroy what I'm feeling or make me feel a certain way because we've connected with the mind. If that's the case, then what is the need for sex?
Yeah.
Enough.
But, you know, what you're saying about, I mean, for a lot of women, sex is emotional. Men, sex is physical.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like the balance that's struck between the sexes. I mean, for men, sex can be just physical. And I mean, there's women who can do that, no doubt.
Oh, of course, of course. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. But for the most part, even though that, you know, we're talking about the physical, it does somehow connect with the emotional, you know. So, I mean, it's just some women.
I mean, yeah, some women, but, I mean, at the same time, I think it just really depends on the person. Because I think there's a lot of people who just can say, I'm fine with just doing this, that I don't have no emotional attachment. And there are guys and girls who say that they literally do have an emotional attachment to the act itself. Like, I just wanted to get this off because this part of my, I don't want to say personality, but this part of me is this part of me, and then
I
get up and just leave, and it wouldn't be. I don't feel dirty. I don't feel a certain way after I'm in my car driving back, and wouldn't think twice about it because the urge or whatever I had is gone, and now I'm back to thinking about how I'm paying this car note now.
So let me ask you guys this: if you're in a relationship, is it good to go celibate for a while? Do you think that would reconnect you guys spiritually? Or create a better emotional bond if you guys take a period of time, nothing long, nothing ridiculous, but just a period of time where y'all gonna just, you know, just fast on sex for a while.
For me personally, I don't know. You know, for me personally, I think it would give me, and I can't speak for everybody, but I think it would give me an opportunity to kind of like recharge my battery so that I can be able to devote whatever it is that I'm bringing to that relationship or to this man so I could bring it to him fully. I think that it would be for me basically just to recharge my battery and to reconnect with who I am spiritually, emotionally, physically, you know, in a whole. I can't speak for other women.
Yeah.
But that would just be me.
Right.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I have to totally agree with it.
And thanks for the call, Tony. You're wonderful.
No problem. You guys are doing a great job. Good topic.
Great. All right. And we've got
thanks.
Another
one.
All right. Bye-bye.
We're going to the other caller. 678, you are on with the Truth Brothers.
Hey, how y'all doing? This is WT from Atlanta.
Hey, how you doing, bro? What's going on?
Hey, how y'all doing? I want to offer a suggestion for the conversation, and this is from a person who, you know, and I had to say this in advance so you understand where the mindset comes from. In my 20s, I spent a lot of time in Europe. I'm talking about over in Romania, England, France, the whole nine. And the sexuality there is so off the hook, and the lust for black men is so off the hook that getting blowjobs is easy, threesomes is easy, just like without even thinking. So with that said, you can saturate yourself so much with sexuality to where it doesn't really become important. And many a times I can tell when cats have had enough sex, still like it, but have enough sex, and I can tell when cats are still looking for that threesome that they ain't had yet. So with that said, I'm going to suggest for the conversation, the whole sexuality thing, man, it's good, but when any of us, male or female, puts busting the nut as victory, it's like it really defeats the purpose for whatever we're trying to do. So with the whole virgin thing you guys were just saying, if you're a dude who's still trying to discover yourself at 35 or 45, and you're still trying to get your third threesome as opposed to your 45th, this stuff is important. This stuff is, like, really important to you. But you get a virgin or anybody with the effort to be an investment toward whatever you're doing. Let me say that again. You get with a person to be an investment toward what you're doing. Because so many of us sit up here, we go have sex, we have sex with the wrong people now, we got the out-of-wed family issue now, we got kids growing up balance now, we got the kid becoming the new stripper or the porn star, or, and what was the purpose of the investment? To bust a nut because we thought it was victory. So I don't negate people who get down like that and love to do it, but it's like I said in the chat room, anybody can detach themselves. A stripper looks in the mirror while she gives you a lap dance because she's detaching her mind from what's going on. Who sees that stripper 5 years later when she's so depressed she can't even attach her mind to love, or that brother,
right,
who spends his time calling women itches and o's all day long, and he can't even establish nothing with a chick. You know what I'm saying? So I just want to suggest for the discussion, you know, a lot of this stuff that we speak on, man, it's real and it's honest for the person that's speaking it. And again, I'm not knocking them because everybody's experience is different. But in the grand picture, and you know, In the whole Van Gogh that we're looking at, it's not about paintbrushes. It's about the whole portrait.
Nice. Nice. And thank you for tuning in the show, man. We hope to keep you around, man. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Hey, good point.
There you have it.
You gotta kind of dig what you're saying there. I mean, for the most part, I do. You know, I mean, I can't even say for the most part. I really do agree with what he was saying. I was about to get into. I think a lot of time, man, people we don't understand that the two can be separated. I don't get with, like he was saying, I don't get with somebody who I want to be with and just say, okay, if the sex is just all the way bad, that I don't see this person outside of just being a cool person I can, you know, I see every day and we laugh at each other jokes and we do all that other stuff. Like, I don't see, if I can't, it has to be something else there that can be something else there that would hold me. I don't know if it would keep me grounded, but it would have to be something else that can hold me there to at least keep my attention towards that person.
Right.
Well, I would hope, that should be the case anyway, right?
I think, yeah, it shouldn't be all or nothing, but I mean, to be honest, if I want to be in a relationship with somebody, that's somebody I want to be around every day. That's somebody, I mean, going deeper into it, that's somebody I want to be able to wake up and look at your face every day and not be like, not reach that time when you be like, oh, man, she here again.
Right.
And for a lot of people, that comes with a, especially if you're just basing it on sex, you're going to hit that wall to where you're like, okay, you know what, she's been here just way too long, and then little stuff starts getting on your nerve. Well, I know for me personally, when I was in a relationship with somebody, after a certain part of time, I could find something that I just didn't find a charm about no more, and then everything just started diminishing. But when you find that person you want to be with, you want to be around them. And it's not just, but the sex is important, but it's not everything. But I want someone who's on my level and compatible, just like movies, music, and all that other stuff that they match compatibility on. Sex should be part of that. I want someone who matches how my spirit is or how I am sexually, as well as and all that other stuff that it takes to have a long-term relationship with somebody.
That's good. Great. But, you know, I mean, to me,
I just think a lot of people aren't very clear when it comes to be it wanting a relationship, wanting casual sex. I think everybody goes, a lot of people, I'll say, go into it kind of blind, you know, and just kind of feel your way through. What do you notice when you first meet a person? Their physical appearance, right? And I think a lot of people find it hard to get past that because they get so enthralled with the physical that mental, you know, mental and wants and desires just come second and third. And some people stay for the sex and wait until it transcends into something else, if it ever does. And when and if it does and something changes, then it all, no one happens to look at, okay, well, we messed this up because we never were really honest and upfront with each other about what we wanted and how we wanted to go about this thing.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Wow, yeah. And you know what? I cannot think of this chick's name because I really don't care. But CNN has been doing this story about this trial about this girl who hacked up her boyfriend after they had spent the afternoon of just having sex. And I was just vaguely watching. I forget her name because I really don't care. But she was doing what she was trying to screw the dude into submission. Every time he would get bored with the relationship and want to move on, she would let him break up, but then go back and keep tipping back until she lured him back in with the sex. And then after a while, when it just didn't work, it appears that she snapped off and just finally killed him once the sex just wasn't holding him at all.
Right. And that's to go back to what Candace was saying. I think a lot of times people do get with somebody, and initially, like she was saying, you see each other, and you, oh, man, I do. I'll do him, dudes say I'll do her. They end up doing each other, and they keep each other around strictly to say, all right, we need to be doing each other on a consistent basis. But you constitute that as being in a relationship. That's the problem. People just say, okay, cool, we like getting into each other, but we ain't took that time to say, okay, well, what are you into? What do you like to do? What is this? What is that? And then when you find out after you've done everything sexually you wanted to do, you find out you really use Crest too? That sucks. I don't like this no more.
Right.
And then you look
right.
for a way
or,
out.
Right. Or religious, you might find out. Or philosophically, you might be a Democrat, I'm a Republican, or you. Well, really, don't believe in having an abortion, and you know something like that. Next thing you know, it's right. It's right. That.
That's why the reason is I didn't even want to take it to something big. My point was to say it could be the smallest thing that would cause you to, you know, like you just looking at it like, man, you really brush your hair that way, huh? I've always hated people who brush their hair that way,
right?
And you look for a way out because you never established what you were when you were just hitting that.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of the problem.
With 23 minutes left, let me ask you guys this, and anybody can feel free to chime in, of course. Do you think it's healthy to, even if you get into a physical relationship with somebody, blah 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 blah, if you're liking the physical relationship, do you think it's fair that when people start attaching feelings to it, they want to change the nature of the relationship without exactly talking about it?
Candace?
I'm sorry, I was busy in the chat room. Say it again.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
We're saying that, you know, who tout that I can be in a physical relationship, all this, all this and that. Is it fair that when a lot of people who enter those relationships end up catching feelings along the way, and then they want to change the nature of the relationship without exactly having that conversation, is that fair, or is that, you know, right?
Well, I don't necessarily think it's a right or wrong. I think what it is, when you all have that conversation initially to say, okay, this is just going to be a physical thing. Sure, either party can develop feelings, but the person that's developed the feelings has to understand the agreement that was made in the beginning. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't go and have a conversation with that person to see if it could transpire into something else, but you have to keep the rules of the game at the helm of your thinking with that.
Right.
But then, I agree with what she said, and even with to add on to that, I think that once you get your feelings or whatever like that, and you know that you won't be able to handle them, handle the situation that the other person knows that they don't want to go into, you have to say, okay, I can't handle that. I have to step away because I know I want more than just what you're willing to give. As far as I want to see you as more than just a quote-unquote dip. And for that reason alone, if I it's gonna keep haunting me if we keep doing this. So I need to, for the benefit of us both, I need to step away.
Right.
I feel like that's important. Then to just keep doing it without telling the person, you're steady tipping back, and then you take that as you tipping back as him showing you the attention of being in a relationship and not saying nothing about it, and now you've developed these feelings and nobody knew.
Right. Okay. Well, then let me ask everybody this question as well. Do you consider, forget the foreplay, we know the foreplay is considered part of sex. We know that. But after the sex, do you consider, let's call it afterplay. Do you consider afterplay important in a relationship? Do you consider that part of the sex?
I consider
afterplay as in what, pillow talk?
Pillow talk, cuddling, being interested in.
That opens another door.
Back rubs, you know, not just turning over and going to sleep all the time. We know there's incidences where that can happen. So we're not saying everything is 100%, but we're saying, hey, you got somebody you care about. Hey, you know, rub their back afterwards, or snuggle with them, or you know, show them attention afterwards. Is that important?
Well, that opens another door. Now, it depends. It really depends on how the relationship starts off, in my opinion. If you are in a strictly no-strings-attached relationship, then the objective there is to do what you guys came to do and call it quits. Now, if you all establish that, hey, look, I'm not really looking for anything serious right now, but if it leads to something, then fine. That's when your scenario seems like it can come into play. And, you know, it would be acceptable at that point in time.
Right, I wasn't.
You are at that point trying to build on something.
Right, I wasn't talking about the just the physical. Yeah, we just friends with benefits. We just hitting.
No, that's why I gave the different scenarios. That's why I said it really depends, because you're opening another door with the whole cuddling, the spooning, and the that type of thing.
I'm talking about actual relationship, not just the physical part. So I'm saying in a relationship, do you consider that important?
Yeah, it's important if that's what you're, if you're trying to build a relationship, yes.
Well, I mean, to go off what he's saying, I'm going to say that it's important in a relationship for the fact that it strengthens a relationship to me. Is that because sex can, a lot of times, let's be honest, a lot of times the actual act of sex can be barbaric and just crazy.
Yeah.
Then you want to show this person, I do care, because what I did to you 5 minutes ago was a little wild.
Right.
So I want
right.
to show
especially
you.
Especially with safe words, son.
Yeah, there you
no
go.
Doubt. No doubt.
You telling people doorknob. Like, that's a safe word. You want that time afterwards to show, like, you really are interested in this person in a relationship, because actual relationships aren't as freaky as sex. So, and
of course.
And
yep.
The thing about that is, that's something that a lot of people, you know, they feel like their relationship has to be according to their sex. Like, hey, you're so soft and gentle here, we have to be soft and gentle here. Nah, you can be rough and rugged and do what you do in your sex life and keep it, you know, real compassionate in your relationship.
Right.
And I feel like that's something that, you know, the afterplay, as you call it, is, yeah, it's important if you're in that relationship and y'all are really making something work, then yeah, it is important. I feel that way.
Right. And after play is different for everybody. So that's why I was trying to show a wide range of, yeah, whatever people could like afterwards, I think is important. For some people, it is cuddling. For some people like a back rub afterwards, or, you know, or whatever it takes to make them feel comfortable afterwards. And I think that stuff is very important.
Small is saying you don't have to leave right now. That could, yeah.
True.
You know, those are little, you know, hey, I'm going to step and make the
blunt.
I
just think that that's part of just sex etiquette. or at least it should, you know what I mean? It should be. No one, I mean, you should still be cordial. I mean, what? You know, like, for instance, you're not going to walk in the door when you go meet your dip and just say, hey, right. Take your clothes off. You know, you have to kind of build up to that moment. Then you come to a crescendo, and then, you know, you dwindle off, you know. Say your goodnight until the next time, because you want to leave that door open and you want to have a good space for the next time. You all come to me, right? No one wants to feel like they're cheap unless that's the type of relationship you have. I mean, it really does all depend on the person and the relationship that they establish with one another.
That's what I'm saying about, like, the sex etiquette thing. If your relationship you establish with this person is simple, hey, I come through, we do my thing, you could be asleep, I'll just get up and walk out. If that's what you have, then there's no need for the etiquette.
Right, exactly, because your situation doesn't call for it.
It's
right.
Different for every relationship, so that's what I was saying. For some
right.
people don't mind. If you get up and go wash the car right afterwards, it don't bother them. But for some people, it do.
Right, exactly.
And I think that the answer altogether is just it all depends on the situation. I don't think it's just cut and dry. It just really depends. It varies.
Right, but I'm saying for some people, is it important to be respectful and mindful of that? Because for some, the person who can get up and wash his car right afterwards may not, it's not that they don't value what that other person feels. It's just, like you say, their version of after play is different.
Right.
And it conflicts with the person who might want to, hey, yeah, lay here with me 30 minutes. Just don't make me feel like wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. So there should be some middle ground reached there.
Let me ask you a question, though. Has it been to a point, and this is for both of y'all, has it been to a point where you got done and, you know, you're just sitting there and you're like, okay, like, now I'm figuring out if I actually like this person or not?
818-514-1202.
Like, are you sitting there after the whole, you as Candace called it, the crescendo, and you let off your Skittles?
Did we post
that? And you, at this point, you're like, okay, I'm done. Do I really like this person or not? Was this just, ooh, she was...
Now, that depends. How long are we talking as far as them knowing each other?
Mm-hmm. It's a relationship. No, 6 months.
No, but I'm just saying. Are we strictly on relationships, or are we going to hypotheticals of different types of...
I mean, a hypothetical situation. You've known a guy for a while. He, you've never seen each other in that way, and you've always found each other attractive. Then you turn around, and one day something happened, and it's not even the sex was good, you know, whatever. It wasn't mind blowing, but you know, at that point, you just say, do you really like him or not, or was it? Was y'all really, you guys really cool, or was it just you wanted to get the nut off from this guy?
All right.
Have you ever been in that type of situation?
Well, I heard you mention everything except, you know, I got to know him. You know what I mean? That sex, the importance of sex, I don't want to say it diminishes. It's not as important as you getting to know a person and start respecting and admiring qualities about them. You know, that's like for the person you never thought you'd be attracted to, but as long, you know, the more you carried on conversations with them, you started to like them. You looked less at their physical and more into who they were, and they became attracted to you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, I just think it's one of those things where, you know, it's kind of hard to say.
Well, that's like okay. Well, let's try this one. Has it been to a point where you've got done and you was like, let me see, what's the way? I want to really put my words right here because I don't want to say nothing too bogus. Has it been to a point where you was like, I kind of like trick this girl into, or trick this guy or whatever into doing this. Like, I didn't have
to. Yeah.
Nah,
I can't answer that one.
As in, like, oh my God, I told her something that was a lie, but like, you can't. You know how when you put your A, I don't even want to say A game because that sounds like a game. When you with somebody and you're trying to get to that point, and it's not like you're. I don't want to make it seem like it's a game, but you're trying harder, and you because you want to be with this person.
You're trying to put it on to make them want to come back.
Exactly.
You want
versus
them to, you're playing it cool. You don't want to put your feelings out there, so you're trying to put it down to make them want to come back.
Right. Versus some.
But I'm gonna stop you right there. Why are you trying to make her come back, for the sex or for you? Because from what Ray is saying, you want to put it down so good that she wants it again. If she just wants what you got to give her physically, that's one thing.
It has
nothing to do with emotion.
I think he was saying that you're doing something physical with someone, or you're doing something with someone you find out you really like, and you want them to build up something emotional, but you don't want to put it out there, so
right.
You're putting it down to make them want to come back. The more they come back.
Well, why don't you want to put it out there is what I'm trying to get. If you really like that person, why not tell them that instead of trying to get them to be infatuated with the sex?
Because we were saying, like, a part of that. I mean, it's not like just the speaking and talking to them. That could work, too. We also want to let them know that the sex is there as well, because like we all said, sex is important, and you can.
Well, she gonna come back anyway. If that's the case, if you really did your thing, you know, she's you know, I don't see her running.
See you outside. I mean, you want her to come. Like some women will come back to you because the sex is great. Some women will come back and say, okay, he put it down. Now I want to know what type of person he is afterwards. Like the thing with some dudes do it. I know more women do it than dudes. But that does happen. I'm just curious as to if it happens and the guy is putting it down to a point where he's like, I want her to come back so I can talk to her and do this and do that, and then she just says, you know, I don't want to come back. Well, not even just I don't want to come back, but you know, you want more and she's not willing to give that. So do you feel like wasted my time and all this energy I put in there? Do you feel like that afterwards? I guess that's another way
right.
of my question.
Right.
But see, why? Okay. Well, that all goes off on how the relationship started. You know what I'm saying? What was established in the beginning
to bring it to that point? He was saying it was physical, but you start catching feelings, but you don't want to put it out there. So he says, If I keep making her want to come back, then it could turn into something, because I can start building up to build this relationship without saying so, because all she wants is physical. It's just another way of saying that you're scared to put your feelings out there to say you want.
But it's still a form of deception, though, is what I'm getting at. I hear what you guys are saying. It's still a form of deception because, you know, if you are catching feelings, you should be big enough to say so.
Yeah.
And if she says, no, I'm not into that, you know, now you've just got to, you know, I'm not into having a relationship with you right now. Yeah, I like you, but I like to keep it where it is. So at least now you know what's going on, and you can make a decision whether you want to continue to put it down with her or not, or stop messing with her altogether. Because it just seems like what you guys are saying, it still comes back to sex.
Yeah, because
that, if you say, if I put it so down so good on her, you know, I'll make her want to build something with. No. I mean, you guys feel what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Anybody feel what I'm saying? 818-514-1202. This thing on?
Yeah, on. Ooh, yeah, it's, you know, it just.
Now, see, I can't see you guys' faces, so why are you all laughing?
Because it's not a matter of tricking somebody. It's just people have these ways of trying to get what they want without putting their feelings out there, because people don't like getting their feelings hurt. I know Drea was like, you know, hey, trick a woman, that's what guys do. And when he was posing the question, that's not what he was getting at. He used the wrong word. Whether it's a guy or a girl, when you start catching feelings for someone that you're supposedly in just physical with, it's not that you don't want to trick them. You're scared of getting your feelings hurt. And you're scared
it's inadvertent. I'm not saying that you're blatantly doing that, but it's inadvertent and a deception to me. Just tell, you don't know what I might, you know, you don't know what that person might say. They might they say, you know what, I was thinking the same thing too, but I was too scared to say.
Right, but then that's about
and she should have said, you know.
While we said it's just a human trait. And when you're doing that, it's not that you're trying to trick them. You're trying to show them the virtues of this of what it could be by trying to get them to hang around with you longer and longer and longer. And that's just
through sex,
but,
by putting it down.
I mean, that opens the door to an extent.
You're doing
no, your mouth opens the door to me.
I mean,
you dig in on a person where it started off as casual sex, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Is that how the relationship started? Just a casual thing between the two of you?
Yeah, I mean, you met at McDonald's. She ordered the Big Mac. You ordered the quarter pounder. Y'all got each other's number,
right.
And y'all met up one day, had a quick conversation. You found each other attractive at her mom's house, and bam, something happened.
Right. I mean, it's usually usually a young thing anyway.
Right. That's
usually
a
young thing
and
anyway.
Young.
But we're just saying for the discussion that you know when people are scared to put their emotions out there, they resort to other ways to try to get people to see where coming from without having to speak it and feel the rejection.
And I think that's a lot of the problems in relationships now.
That's why we said they were big problems, no doubt.
Because, I mean, if you look at it, a lot of times it's the younger people who don't say what they want to say, especially younger dudes.
Right.
They're not gonna tell you.
Right. Because Drea just said, you know, the sex ain't gonna pull that trick off, and I agree. I'm not even saying
exactly.
It's, but we're all older, experienced,
exactly.
Wise people. But we're saying this is kind of what young people do. It's kind of, and we were all young.
No.
Guess we did not.
I don't think it's just geared to young people. I mean, young people, you understand that because they're still finding their way. But you got a lot of grown-ass people doing the same thing that do a lot of gameplay because some feel like they're too macho to admit that, yeah, I'm digging on you and I want to build something else, or the woman's too scared for whatever reason.
Absolutely. But, I mean, for the most part, though, we're saying that majority, I would have to agree that majority of when this happens is a younger audience. Because, I mean, I would never say, hey, it's only
right.
Happens with young people.
Exactly.
I mean, it's general. But I know from my personal experience that it's been a lot of times I liked a girl at a younger age, and I couldn't tell her.
Said pride.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Exactly.
So what ended up happening with that?
One time we ended up getting together because we just let that evolve, and then once it evolved, it wound up turning. We just wound up, hey, well, let's go to a movie. And we went to a movie, and then it just, hey, we ended up being cool. So I mean,
it was an unspoken word. Okay.
Yeah, it was the unspoken, hey, we woke up and we were in a relationship.
Right, and it's not absolute, but the young.
Okay, wait, hold on one second, Ray, because I want to finish hearing his story.
Now, that was it. I was saying we woke up and we were in a relationship.
Okay, now how did it end?
We got older. I mean, like I said, it was a younger thing. It's like once the older we got, I mean, we're good. We're still friends. I mean, we didn't.
Okay.
It was just.
I guess I'm thinking of it from the adult perspective, you know, considering the topic. I mean, youth is youth. You're gonna go through that type of stuff, you know, especially, you know, if you're sexually active. But it just seemed from what you guys were saying that, you know, what it implied to me was that, okay, I'm digging on this chick where we have a mutual agreement that is just casual. And you catch feelings And instead of just saying, okay, you know what, I don't know about you, and I'm going out on a limb here, but I'm going to tell you so you can't say you never knew, but I'd like to pursue something else with you. And she can say one or two things. Wow, I was thinking the same thing. Let's give it a go. Or, hey, you know what? You know, I appreciate you. I respect you for coming at me with that, but I prefer to keep it at this level. Oops. Just saying.
Yeah, and Andrea said that men are also scary when it comes to expressing feelings. That's very true. So be sure to chime in next week when we get into its masculinity, because I'm sure that's going to come into play. But I want to thank everybody for tuning in. It was a great show. The Women Trainer.
It was.
We hope you all stay good. Andrea, Hot Topic, everybody. It was great. Everybody out there listening, because we got quite a full board of people that was listening, and everybody. A good, again, thanks for tuning in. This was great. Thanks, guys. Take to do it next week. This has been a G-Network presentation. And we're going to let you know like this. If you're not listening to the Truth Brothers, then the truth ain't in. Peace.
Peace.